Hey beautiful souls, welcome along to Introspect. This is episode number 10 and today Tammy and I are going to be jumping into the topic of understanding and the importance of healing inner childhood wounds, trauma and challenges, and also the importance of how these affect our adult lives and relationships if it's left unresolved. So let's jump right in together.
Hi guys.
Hi. We'll just give it a minute or so, but we're jumping on today and we thought we'd do a live along with our podcast. So so welcome to our podcast number 10.
Yeah.
Which is great. New beginnings. We haven't done a podcast for a little while, so this podcast is going to be all about understanding and healing the inner child.
Yeah, so it's a pretty deep topic and it's really in depth, but it's so important that we all understand how much this impacts like every area of our lives. Like,
yeah.
None of us are exempt from this. This is another one of those core topics, the foundational topics. It comes through every session, it comes through every conversation that we have, it plays out in every relationship, really.
Yeah. I guess from our childhood, from the years 0 to 7 is when our beliefs are formed. And if those beliefs if those beliefs are practiced, they become core beliefs. And we pretty much run our lives by core beliefs. So they can very much affect every aspect of our lives. Yeah. And sometimes not to our highest and greatest good.
Yeah. So it's interesting because Tammy and I have been reflecting quite a lot on this topic, and even being like around our parents and having conversations with them, it's amazing just to see what things still trigger and what still comes up as a tension point or a pain point. And just even comments and like reactionary type feedback. Mm. Like we've all had relationships or even our children that we hit these reactions that kind of reflected back to us.
Yeah.
But it's so important to understand that, you know, often it's not a reflection of self and who we are. It's often a reflection of whatever that person's unresolved inner child issues are, or even their own beliefs and that sort of thing that are not in alignment with their truth. So, yeah, welcome aboard, everyone that's joining us.
Hello.
Okay.
And welcome on the podcast.
Yeah,
for cool. Future people listening.
Okay, so let's, shall we kick off by talking about, so as Tammy mentioned, kind of before the age of 7 or 8, we don't have that whole fourth part of our brain developed, which is that the kind of final frontal lobe or cortex. So that's our ability to discern. Like, we only get that sort of later on after that teenage period. And they say that females develop earlier than guys, and that in the last kind of brain science belief system thing that we attended, they were saying that guys continue until 32 years oldish. So yeah, I'm pretty sure.
28. So, you know, we're continually growing and forming. But I guess what we're wanting to focus on is the inner child. So these are the early formative years, and those first 7 to 8 years we basically are in a theta state, which is the same state that you are in when you sleep or when you're in a meditative state, which means that we are just absorbing everything around us. So, you know, our parents don't mean to, and us as parents don't mean to teach the things that we do. It just is what it is. It's evolution, you know. So I guess for us, this is about becoming aware of what's been and knowing that we can change it. And that we can heal it, because a lot of these beliefs that are formed are not healthy ones. They're, you know, and, you know, the beliefs that come from childhood can be I'm dumb, or I'm an introvert, or I'm a night owl, or I'm a party person, maybe not between 0 and 8. But then even then, you know, like, I guess if your parents were party animals and they had parties every weekend, then that's what you've grown up around. So that's what you believe is a healthy way to live. So therefore you take that into your life.
Mm.
It's healthy to have parties every weekend, to be drunk and to do whatever, you know, that's an example.
and that comes from even things like alcoholism and drugs and that sort of thing, like even in womb. So, you know, sometimes as a child, we don't even have a choice. Some of us come in under those circumstances or the environment that has actually already got a level of toxicity within the cellular and the DNA structure. So, you know, then for a lot of those that are dealing with those issues, you know, it becomes a really, really big thing that plays out way into adult life. And
it's so much deeper than what we've ever been taught. Like even, you know, even just counselling, like you're not going to get to that core, deep... you might, but it might take years. But if we can energetically release, it's so much quicker. It's like quantum. Another thing that just, something just popped into my head and then it went again. God damn it. Carry on.
Sweet. Okay.
It'll come back.
So let's just expand a little bit on how these show up because, okay, so let's just say that for me, like I'll talk specifically so it's relevant. I came in and for most of my younger years, I had lack of self-confidence, lack of self-worth. I was running people-pleasing programs really because as a young, sensitive male or boy, I wanted the connection and love from the parents, but I was one of five. So obviously then that love and support gets split across a lot of children and whatever other daily tasks are going around. So, and in that generation, our parents also ran a lot of codependent programs. So, you know, it's a lot of like, you know, they showed love through acts of service or having the house clean or the dinner cooked or the lawns in the section looking amazing. Like that was their way of creating an environment and a space and home that they felt was their greatest expression of love. Yet as a child, we might have wanted our mum or dad's quality time or just some physical touch or just even some words of affirmation of a parent saying, hey, like you've done really well, or that drawing's really good, or you know, you look really pretty that you brushed your hair today, like, you know, as a young girl or whatever it might be. You know, so often we're seeking that validation and that sense of nurture and care. But yeah, when we don't get it, like Tammy said, it's not intentional from the parent, because quite often our parents, especially in that last couple of generations, they do not talk about this stuff, right? Talking about the emotions, talking about our feelings, especially as a guy, this is like basically a foreign concept. So
this is new.
So we're trying to bring awareness to this, especially to the guys out there and females. Like we're trying to bring awareness to understand that once we work through and clear some of the stuff that's actually impacting our now lives, we can actually shift like really big time on our quantum timelines and the amount of happiness and self-love, expression, inner trust. Like all of these topics are all bound within these formative kind of years. So, yeah.
And these beliefs are stored in our cellular memory. Like it's so deep that and quite often we're not even aware of the beliefs that are running the kind of the narrative of our life, you know, the programs that are running that keep having us experience the same kind of, you know, like if you've grown up and you have not felt seen or heard, which, you know, I mean, children really is all they really need. The core things that they need are to be seen, to be heard, and to be able to authentically express themselves. So if those things have been shut down, you know, you're going to keep practicing that belief, which will then become a core belief. So you'll keep practicing that you're not being heard. And so you'll experience relationships where you're not feeling heard, and it will just keep continuing until you start kind of seeking, you know, why is this playing out continually in my life, and then looking deeper and actually going back. And we can actually re-parent our inner child,
totally,
and go back and show them the love, or show them that they were seen and that they were heard, and that they can express themselves and heal that.
Yeah. So even like I'm just thinking back, like there's just been so many consistent themes. Even themes like, let's say you're an older brother or older sister, or mum and dad split when you or your siblings were young. So often we will step into a parent role at a really young age. So we will step in as a parent because, say, mum or dad's no longer in the house. So say as a young male, I would probably step up and feel like, oh, I need to do more and be more and I need to be strong for mum. So instead of honouring, holy shit, in this moment, I just want to break down and cry because I don't understand and I'm confused of what's going on. And I don't understand because mum and dad haven't talked to me because they've tried to protect me through the separation. You know, we go and we start to try to be the best version of ourselves, but often that means at a very young age that we take on a lot of responsibility, a lot of expectations, and we actually try to be the parent of our own parent because we might see them struggling or we might see them breaking down.
Especially if you're a sensitive child, right? And or even, and I really noticed this within my boys when I split from their father, my oldest boy started behaving as if he needed to be the man of the house and tried to parent my younger son, and which of course is never gonna turn out well. And you know, I had to keep reminding him that it was okay. He didn't need to be that I've got this, and you know, just let him be a child instead of him feeling like he needed to step up and be the man of the house, and you know, which was beautiful, but it wasn't his place. He was far too young to be taking on that role.
And because that program was established, so even when I met Tammy, there was probably, a couple of people in between the marriage split and me.
Yeah.
And I still saw it. Like, I was still having...
Yeah,
power and dynamic things, or, like, you know, just...
Because you were stepping in and being the man in the house, and he was probably like, hey...
Yeah, it was like a little bit of an alpha male thing going on. Yeah. And, you know, it's... But, you know, everything's kind of worked itself out now, and even from that perspective, you know, the defensiveness or the protectiveness of mum, you know, those kind of things, like, we don't realise that we have actually stepped into those roles. So yeah, it's really honourable and beautiful in some aspects, but then we're here now and we have to understand, like, with us right now, like, how is this showing up in our lives and affecting our lives? Because you just mentioned about cellular memory. So just to explain to everyone, like, what that means is, let's say that we've had some early childhood trauma and we have certain people, emotions, the environment is all balled up in an energy ball. We're going to chuck that in our backpack or into our body or into parts of our energy system or our aura or around the chakra system. And it will stay there until we've resolved it. Like, you would even heard in our voice a little bit, we've been like clearing our throats since the start of this call. So already we're feeling a few of you that have actually had some of these challenges around expression. So basically the cellular memory is kind of like an energetic memory. So if something's been emotionally traumatic or challenging, then that means that we will store it within our body, and our physical body will start talking as well, because it's in the energy. We are 99% energy, and it stays there until we address it, accept it, heal it, or basically things like energy cord cutting and stuff like that. Like, it's all amazing tools that are totally drug free. It's not like counseling and preaching to you to tell you what to shift and change.
Well, it's not about talking it out, because it's on an energetic level, so it's so much deeper than the logical mind.
Yeah, it's not in the intellect, right? It's in the emotions. It's we store the emotional baggage and the emotional trauma.
But actually, as a side note as well, like, any childhood traumatic event does not necessarily have to be like traumatic, like, as in, you know, like abuse, or it can be something really quite simple that that has happened that the child will lodge that in their cellular memory as a traumatic experience. But when you play it back as an adult or speak about it as an adult, you might be like, well, that's not really, you know, that doesn't seem very traumatic. But to a child who has no logical reasoning, it very much is. So it can be something really simple. So that's something also to acknowledge, that, you know, because people go, oh, but I had a pretty, I had a wonderful childhood, you know, I had a beautiful childhood. But that doesn't mean that you didn't experience something that triggered that emotion, those emotions to be stored and cause a blockage. Yeah.
So, like, one simple example of that, again, it's shown up in many conversations, is wanting just the quality time from our parents. So, like, as Tammy just explained, like, quite often I'll meet people or talk to clients and they'll be like, oh no, my childhood and my upbringing was really, really good. And I'm like, you'll feel certain pockets of energy, like saying the right hip or the right knee around dad. And I'll be like, okay, but what was your relationship like around dad? Because the heart's a little bit closed off, the throat's a little bit closed off, and the sacral around the unworthiness and not being seen. So I'll ask a question like, what about dad? And then, like, less than a couple of minutes later, where some emotions are coming up, like they'll start speaking and the emotions will start coming to the surface. And, you know, that's when we really know. And we go into the story and be like, oh yeah, I used to say go into dad's office and play with his printing machine or his calculator in order to try and get his attention and know that while he's busy doing work that I was trying to be a part of that. So, you know, in these moments we as a child, we're trying to reach out to connect with our parents by trying to go
and
into
the only way we know how, yeah, as a child. Yeah.
So we go and try to be playful, like say in their office or, you know, with their equipment or with their invoicing or their computer. And what we're really doing is we're saying to our parent that we would love to spend some time with them, but they're just too busy working or running time shortage consciousness beliefs or, you know, things like that. So, you know, so it can be really simple and we can have a beautiful upbringing, but we're all here to learn. So really the inner child work is giving us an opportunity as an adult, even as a parent, to understand what is it that we've experienced or where are we still stuck in these kind of energetic pockets or these environments or these scenes or memories. And when we release it, the shifts are instant, like the shift within us is noticeable on the mental, emotional and the physical level. So,
and also the after that those shifts, you know, what experiences we have and how different they are and how much less we're triggered by things that used to trigger us a lot. You know, whether it's trust or I mean, trust was a big one for me. Trust and male energy as well. My father, my mum and dad split when I was 7. Interestingly enough.
Hear the voice? So that kind of body talk is what we're talking about. So see, she just tripped into it.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah. But then, interestingly enough, my marriage ended when my youngest was 7 as well. So, you know, it's interesting how it plays out. And when you start linking back and actually really looking at things and how nothing is a coincidence, it's all happened in, you know, divine timing for us to really evolve and, you know, pay attention.
Yeah. So, with us, because remember, we're not just here on an individual soul level, we are part of a lineage of souls as well, like our ancestry. So for many of us, most of us, like 90% of us, have shown up to observe and see programs and patterns, observe what we've been taught and shown through culture, religion, society, whatever it might be, and then come to our own discernment on what is right for us. So that means that we have the absolute power to break lineage programs and to break, you know, things that are just not broken. Even like how many of us have come through like just having the pressure of the expectation of parents to be something or to amount to something.
To get a good job, to get married, to have children, to have the house with the white picket fence, blah, 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 blah. Like it's really time for all of that stuff to shift.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if that's what you want, then amazing. But, yeah, I really feel like it's time for us to start parenting in a way that allows our children the freedom to express themselves for who they are and create their own lives based on who they are and what they want, not what we want for them as parents. You know, we need to focus on us and allow them to focus on them.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're guiding them and, you know, supporting them as we as best we can. But, yeah, I think once you become really, when you acknowledge your own inner healing, inner child healing, it really creates such an amazing expansion as a parent to be really, really like acknowledging of all of the things that are going on for your child and how things are playing out and, yeah, pulling yourself up when you realise that maybe, you know, that wasn't the right thing to do or say or whatever, and actually going and talking to them about it instead of just... under the rug line.
Yeah, and apologising. Apologising too, like even, you know, even with Noah, like my son, I had an instance the other day, it was so simple, but it was about the hose and some hose fittings. Like, and I was in the pool and I just found myself fire off a comment, and it was quite agitated, had a little bit of energy behind it, wasn't super positive. And anyway, he had a little moment of tears and a bit of a breakdown, and I went and sat and laid with him. And what was actually under there was him remembering back to 4 years earlier when I was in another relationship that was had a lot of conflict in it and stuff like that. And he remembers me sitting on the steps in tears. So in that moment, he felt completely helpless, hopeless. He couldn't speak his truth. The emotions were all balled up in there. So, you know, this had been there for 4 or 5 years almost. Mm. And so through that catalyst of me getting frustrated, then going to him saying, look mate, I'm really sorry, that would have been how my dad would have talked to me, so I'm really sorry for that comment, but what is, like, what else are you feeling? And then as it softened and as we got a little bit more open and vulnerable, then the truth came out around what was actually underneath that triggered him to feel, oh my God, I'm not good enough, I can't do things right, which was so simple. But we will always attract these little catalysts into our relationships. And if we can just show up authentically, take ownership for what we've done, that allows this whole healing process to go so much faster. Whereas,
well, and for you as well, like if you hadn't have gone and talked to him, if you'd held on to that, then you would have harbored guilt over feeling guilty for speaking to him, you know. So it's really important that we just acknowledge things as they come up, and nothing's wrong. You know, there is no wrong emotion. It just is.
Yeah. And we have to understand that also, like, whether in relationships or as parents or even with our children, we're not here to be the ultimate savior and the healer of their path. We're going to give them contrast and challenges. And we have all come in with programs and patterns that have been passed down from our parents and grandparents as well. So, like, none of us are bulletproof. Like, none of us have a manual on how to raise a totally unique 1 in 7 billion soul, you know. So we've just got to, like, take that pressure off and the expectation off and understand that our children are powerful souls as well. Like, we're not here to be their saviors. We're here to unlock these tools within them so that they can make really good decisions and have the tools to do that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I guess the main thing that, if we want to just go back a little bit, the main thing to probably start observing is your beliefs and what they are. So, you know, your beliefs around yourself as a person, you know, I am. So even like observing the way that you talk to people, or all of the little...
The reactions.
The reactions, but the little one-liners that we might say, you know, oh, I am this, because you believe that you've always been there, and you may have been that throughout your whole life. You know, so something that I very much believed was that I am a party girl, and I was a party girl throughout my, you know, from teenage, and I had this core belief that that's who I was. And when I became a parent, I couldn't be that party girl anymore. I didn't want to be that party girl anymore, but I still had that core belief. So I still ran the program of, you know, like once a month or once every couple of months, I would go and like get hammered and be the last one at the party or whatever. And my inner being was going, no, you don't want to be this. But I had this belief that that's who I was. And I remember having friends that also had the same belief. So therefore it was being validated that, you know, that this was who I was, how I was. And and there was so much guilt and shame around that one belief. And now I have so well and truly let go of that belief, but not through, you know, like, the works, it's not for the faint-hearted, right? Like, we're uncovering layers that have formed. So, I mean, that was just one. There's so many beliefs that...
Another really big one, again, so we've talked about this in our last Zoom call, and since the last Scorpio full moon especially, like, and again, going all the way through this week, next week into the next winter solstice and here in the Southern Hemisphere. But we're going to, like, all of this anger, the resentment, the blocked throat, the upper heart walls and that sort of thing. Like, everyone that has been coming through has been, we've been releasing layer upon layer upon layer of withheld anger or frustration or blocked expressions or needing to convince or prove to someone else outside of our own experience that we are enough or that our voice is enough or that how we feel or that our emotional feelings, you know, are not too emotional. Like so many times, if you're sensitive, you just get told you're too emotional or get your head out of the clouds or, you know, whatever it might be. Like whatever our parents told us when we were actually in our high consciousness and imagination, we've kind of been convinced that that's not okay to dream and to imagine things. Yet now we've come through an age of like, you know, look at Marvel films, look at Harry Potter, look at like...
That wouldn't come without imagination.
We've been shown that this is not only like an amazing gift, but it's actually a very valuable one in terms of manifesting our reality.
Yeah. So and creating, like we're here to create. Yeah.
So yeah, the expression's a big one and we have each done a lot of learning even in the last 3 years around our ability to communicate openly and honestly, even if it's about stuff like intimacy or sexuality.
Yeah.
Like, or even this blended parenting. Like if any of you guys are doing blended parenting, it's never easy. Mm. Like it's like the dynamics of going into a family that are not your birth children, but you're still trying to, you basically uncover your own generation's belief systems and then have another reflection of how that looks compared to how other people have raised their children. Mm. So it's really, it's quite a complex dynamic, even during the blended families.
It really is.
So there's so much learning in every area. So I guess what's important is self-awareness is the first part to this.
Mm.
If you're showing up or you're constantly having something reflected to you, whether that's a dominant partner always wanting to know something from you or questioning your truth, whether that's someone at work always showing you or making you feel that what you're doing is not enough. When we shift into parenting, generally that will be the rise up of all of our unhealed parent trauma as we shift into being a parent as well. Yeah. So for those of you that are not quite there yet, you'll hit some layers when you actually become a parent.
It'd be really good to release those layers before you become a parent, because it's hard to do it while being a parent. And, you know, I would highly suggest working on the stuff before you become a parent, because, it's much harder when it's a little version. Not a little version of you, because that's not what our children are. They are their own unique whole entity, but they're very much mirroring back to us. And you know, a lot of people will ignore that, and so if you've already done the work, then you won't even get the mirror back. You might still get some stuff, but you know,
it becomes so much smoother though, hey?
The more that I've done on my own inner healing, the better parent I've become. And calmer and just not so reactive and triggered and which I mean that is what comes with doing this beautiful healing work.
So and on a soul lineage level and on a family level, we're actually trying to release karma cycles as well.
Mm.
So if we think of karma in a modern sense, it's just law of attraction, right?
Mm.
So whatever our grandparents or parents planted the seeds of, they're going to come to harvest, and whether that's in their generation or the next generation. But I had a massive self-awareness of whatever I didn't heal or whatever I didn't address or whatever I put up with was basically going to persist. And if that meant I then brought in my son, then I knew, okay, if I stay in fights and arguments and turmoil, I'm basically handing down the backpack to him unknowingly. A lot of the time it's subconscious.
Mm.
But I was really highly aware that this is not good. Like, I can't stay in this dynamic, because all that's doing is programming, conditioning the most beautiful soul that I love in my life. And I'm passing on my shit that was probably my parents' shit that they didn't resolve. So, you know, when we are really honest and open, we can really move a lot of stuff and cut a lot of programs and ties.
Breaking the cycles, eh?
Yeah.
I feel like that was, you know, that was the catalyst for my marriage ending, was that I was witnessing my boys being taught how a woman was to be treated, and I couldn't stand it any longer, you know, like that was not okay, and I did not want my boys growing up thinking that this was a healthy relationship, even, you know, like I really, really could see how unhealthy and abusive and damaging it was, and for them to take that on into their lives was like my worst nightmare. So yeah. But of course, you know, making decisions like that is also very, very heavy.
It has its own cause and effect as well. Yeah. But to be honest, the flow and effect is nowhere near as bad. I mean, like, it saddens me. Like, when we see the amount of older couples and relationships out there that are just so disconnected or sleeping in different rooms, you know, just not love. There's no love. There's no joy left in life. There's no happiness or abundance or connection. It's just very separate, very much like this is the way it is, and everyone's at a stalemate.
Mm.
No one wants to shift. Neither party wants to shift. Neither party's willing to show up. And they just keep recycling this really unfortunate, lackluster kind of life.
I, you know, I really feel like staying for the children is not in the highest and greatest good for the children.
It's not at all.
No, not at all. And you know, a lot of adults that, you know, their parents have stayed together until the children become adults and, you know, leave home and everything, and then the parents split up. And the adults, I mean, so the children that are now adults could see it since way back then, kind of thing, you know, and they're not surprised. But in the process, they don't understand the programs and beliefs that they have then formed through that relationship staying together. And yeah, so that the inner child work, and it can be, it doesn't necessarily have to be from 0 to 8. I mean, that's when our major, when we're absorbing everything around us and our programs and beliefs are formed. But programs and beliefs can still be formed after that and can go through to, you know, employers
20s.
And partners, you know. Like, I mean, I formed beliefs with my partner of 14 years. I formed beliefs that were his beliefs, not my beliefs, and so I've had to undo them. So, you know, like, it's, the inner child can really play out much later than what we believe a child age.
And it's crazy because it doesn't matter what age, whether the child is, like, for example, my clients now, they might be 50, 55 years old, but we'll go back to the 4-year-old, the 6-year-old, the 12-year-old. And every single time when we gently regress back to their truth, their actual truth that is behind the blocks that the ego mind has created for their own protection, when you go in and unlock the actual root cause of the emotion, all of them at every single age basically say, we knew and we felt what was already going on with mum and dad, but we felt that we couldn't trust them any longer because they weren't speaking the truth. There's emotions of confusion, helplessness and hopelessness because mum and dad might have kept the dynamic going for too long, or some of them are like, mum, I just remember mum or dad, they're in the car, they packed their stuff and I never saw them again for like 3 weeks. Or, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, as Timmy just mentioned, the emotional impact of staying in something like that as sensitive children we know is not functioning or is not right, then, you know, that's, we've got to really sharp honestly and authentically about these topics. Like, we can't just sweep it under the rug hoping that one day this will sort itself. It's like, the one day starts with us and the day is like kind of now for us. It's not like, again, whatever we allow, we'll just keep persisting. So yeah, if anyone has any questions just as we're going, just fire them into the comments box and we'll see if we can answer them as well. We do have one, and I'll keep it anonymous, but one of my clients just asked, how do we work through or address if, like, say we've seen like infidelity within our parents, or we remember something on a soul level? And again, this is a complicated question because we're all different in how we process things within ourselves, but we basically have to stop and just check in and say, okay, well, is this impacting me now? Like, what do I feel, and what does the emotion entangle with it, and how is that impacting or playing out with me now? Is that, for example, let's say it's distrust. Am I feeling distrust in my now relationships, or am I not entering into relationships because of the fear of distrust or being left or alone or abandonment? Is there a reason why, say, I don't trust female energy versus male energy? You know, because sometimes it might be on either side. It might be on mum's side or it might be on dad's side. Mm. But most importantly, if it's having an impact on our emotions and it's consuming our thoughts, then yes, it's important to address. And with the addressing and releasing of that, there's going to be emotions and memories around that situation. And sometimes what we're learning through that process is sometimes we might need to learn forgiveness for our parents, because as a child we didn't understand how the two people that were meant to be our idols could do that to each other. Sometimes it's about acceptance. When we grow up, we can actually look back and do the inner child work and say, okay, from an adult version, now that I've had a few relationships, I actually get that marriage, or this idea of marriage, was not just black and white. It's actually really complex. And again, both parents have come together.
Well, each, and we're only human, right?
Yeah, we're only human. Like, and just to know that our parents have inner child stuff they have not resolved. And I guess from an adult perspective, with that awareness and consciousness, we can then go back and nurture and love the inner child and bring all of that energy and those soul fragments back home to you now. So what that would feel like to you is not two steps forward, five back. It'll be two steps forward and feeling like we've got momentum going forward now. And yes, I can be confident, or I can take that leap of faith and put myself out there and maybe go try out a few dates, or you know, as opposed to being fearful or scared that you're going to be left or abandoned and never trying. We'll actually have the, it'll feel different. It energetically feels different when we do the work.
Yeah,
the steps forward are much easier.
Yeah,
and that's the big feeling that we notice, is it's like we step out of a shell.
Yeah.
We leave the old version of ourselves back and we totally step out into a lighter, more free version of ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and that's what this work is. I mean, we're always becoming and transforming. And I just did a card read today and one of the cards was transformation, and it actually talked about inner child work because the inner child work is a massive part of transforming yourself into who you want to be, and creating beliefs that are self-serving, that are, you know, that really are for your highest and greatest good, and not somebody else's belief or a belief that's been formed through trauma or an experience.
Yeah, so for anything that we have experienced, like in our relationship, sometimes, I mean, it's brothers and sisters. Sometimes as a young boy or girl, we might have had sexually abusive brothers or sisters, or people that are really close to us. Sometimes our parents. Most times the mind's blocked it off. The ego has fully protected it, put up the heart walls, put up the mind walls. And that's the part that really catches us out, because we might be trying to go through our lives and do the best and be the best versions of ourselves, but we'll keep getting pushed back, or we'll keep getting the same type of relationship that keeps coming into our life, or a player or a cheater. And the whole point is we're attracting that because we have the belief inside first. We have the fear or the abandonment issues inside that are not resolved, and therefore law of attraction is just going to keep attracting it to us. So that's how we know this is still playing out, and this is how we know it needs addressing, because life will just keep showing you and reflecting you, because your soul and your higher self is drawing these actors in your play to you so that you can heal this. So
or you might be, you know, like, I mean, we use tools to numb ourselves, or to deflect from the things that are coming up. You know, it might be alcohol, it might be cigarettes, it might be food, it might be exercise, it might be partying, it might be socializing, it might be just being busy all the time, so that you cannot let what's trying to come up come up. And there needs to come a point where you actually need to just stop and be, and understand that there is something there that needs to come out, and it's trying to come out. And if we start acknowledging that, you know, the habits that we form, and we all do, we're all human, and that's, it's a coping mechanism, and it's totally normal. But if you're wanting to resolve this stuff, maybe look at those things. You know, what am I reaching for when I'm feeling a bit like I don't know what I'm feeling. Like, I'm feeling something. I don't know what I'm feeling. And then does that trigger, oh, I feel like a wine, or, oh, I need a cigarette, or, oh, I feel like cake, or, you know, whatever it may be. Whether it's healthy or not healthy is, you know, to each and every, to, you know, your own discernment. But if we're constantly reaching for something to fill a void, what is this void? What is this void? And I know that, I mean, I did that for years with not only being the party girl and alcohol, and numbing, you know, the things that I was trying to just deflect and not have to deal with. But then even when I did start doing the work and acknowledging that I was still a smoker and I was still trying to fill that void, and, you know, it wasn't until I really, yeah, filled that void with my own self-love that I was able to actually acknowledge that these things that were coming up to be resolved.
And this could be things like even like sex for people. Some people like just go on Tinder just to fill the void. Some people are in a relationship but then will cheat multiple times just because that guy or girl has a fear of abandonment. So we actually, with that program belief installed, we actually go out creating self-sabotaging mechanisms that basically lead to the separation or the demise of relationship.
And being abandoned, or even on the flip side, abandoning people constantly.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good one. Like, I've had some really, really good sessions that have come through where, like, say, for example, let's say you love traveling, but sometimes behind that love of traveling or always constantly needing to move, sometimes there's an inner child memory of never feeling like you had a home, or you might have been adopted or fostered, so therefore you never had a place to call home. And quite often I've found a few beautiful clients that have come through that are always traveling or always transient, because, or like really, like even couples really, really, really wanting to have a house, or really, really wanting to have a child or something like that, not even realizing that they're just trying to bridge or fill a void, not like for wanting it for the like beautiful, healthy reasons, but really just wanting it as a bit of a band-aid to try and fill a void. So, you know, it can be things like travel. It can be things like only eating healthy 24/7. It can be things like going to the gym 6 out of 7 days a week. You know, especially for guys, a lot of guys are going to the gym.
Excessive kind of,
yeah. Yeah, like anything excessive or that we're attached to will ultimately bring us suffering. So even like there's so many guys that had a really beautiful combo the other day, and it was just talking like guy on guy about why do you go to the gym, like, and then underneath that it was like, oh, actually, was it a confidence thing, or do I feel like I need to be stronger because there's been parts of me that I've had to defend and protect, you know? So I remember that was me when I was young, even at college, and that I wanted to do like martial arts and boxing and that, because in my soul, there was always this fear that I wasn't safe, or that I needed to be stronger or needed to have protection. And, you know, I think a lot of the time, especially for guys, there's a lot of programs out there that are stopping us connecting with our emotional center, and are just putting up these, we've got the walls, and then we go do these very masculine action-based things in order to just reconfirm or, you know, cover over what's actually underlying.
So
it can be, it's not just always like negative. Sometimes it can just be like things like, yeah, I only eat healthy food, or I'm only vegetarian, or I do yoga 7 days a week, because, you know, what are we avoiding? Is all that, I guess, is a good question.
Yeah.
When we do this, why are we doing this? And what's the feeling of what's behind this? And if I skip a day or two, what's the feeling?
How do you feel? Yeah.
That's okay. The real trigger.
Yeah.
When you, if you're doing something as a routine and you stop a day, let's say you go to the gym 6 out of 7 days a week because you want to feel good in your body, you want to look sexy, you want to be this body type for summer, whatever it might be. I totally get having
those.
Which
is fine. Yeah. But if you don't go, are there feelings of guilt, shame, judgment of self, I'm going to get fat, you know, all of the things that might come through with that. So then it's exploring, okay, so yeah.
What's underneath that?
What's the underlying root cause?
Even the, this is quite funny, just thinking about it now, even the idea of a cheat day, even calling a day off the gym a cheat day. Like, when you think about that concept, you're basically saying that you can't do it, you're a bit of a failure and you're cheating. It's like, Like, that's, it's just so wrong. It's like, actually, let's just say it's a day of like rest
balance.
And recovery.
Yeah, like harmony. Like, life is about balance. Yeah. And, you know, we need to be able to allow ourselves this beautiful flow of life that we create for ourselves, that we love and enjoy. And, you know, that's really... It's really shit.
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. Any days that we're going through our lives constantly re-manifesting and recreating these cycles and patterns, we're cheating ourselves.
Mm.
Like, we're literally cheating ourselves. If we know in our conscious awareness that we are in a relationship or a family or at a work job that we hate or whatever, we are literally cheating ourselves. Our soul will drag us through the absolute pits of hell. If you ignore this, the energy is getting faster and the fall and the drop will be even bigger. Yeah. And it's not going to slow down. So, as I say with everyone at 11 meet, like, it's better to learn the rules of the game and then you can actually play the game. It's kind of like Monopoly. Monopoly's super fun. But if you didn't know how Monopoly worked and all you were focused on was a $1 bill and you didn't understand currency and the whole system, like, you know, it changes our whole perspective of how we work and move through life.
Yeah.
Like, so you just want to learn to play the game. You want to honor your energy and your emotions. And, and don't be afraid to take the deep dive.
Mm.
Like, we've got to show up. We've got to be authentic with ourselves first.
Yeah.
And then shine our brightest light into other aspects of our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And always, I guess, with the inner child work, because it can spark conversations with our parents, and really acknowledging with our parents that this is not their fault, that there is no blame and there is no fault, because we only know what we know. And, you know, as this is evolution, and with evolution comes learning and growth, and, you know, so it's quite normal, and it's absolutely okay. And I mean, this is something that my dad, through my healing journey, because my dad is actually really open and really open to talking about all of the healing process, but he's had those questions. He's like, do you blame me, you know? And I'm like, I absolutely don't blame you. Like, you did the best that you could with what you were taught from your parents, and I 100% acknowledge that. And and, you know, like, there's been a lot of forgiveness on my part for my parents and who they were, and, you know, and it comes just from a loving space. Like, there is nothing but love there, because this is what this is my goal, is to have a more loving life and more loving relationships and deeper relationships. And that means having conversations that can sometimes be a little bit like,
But remembering that we, like, even with this example that you just gave, it's important for us to communicate that this didn't just happen overnight. Like, as in, Tammy's still resolving and working through these pieces and shuffling around energy and emotions, and, you know, even having your dad here last night.
Yeah.
Where you could still see, and, like, I was really clear to him at one point when he popped the question of, like, oh, you know, was I not there in that way or whatever? And I'm like, you know, can you please release that judgment and guilt? Like, you don't have to hold this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, because he could see between what Tammy had talked about, but then the emotion that was stored within Dad. It was like, you know, it was like, actually just release the shame. Like, well, that's not, we're trying, that's not why we're bringing this up. We're bringing this up to heal.
With forgiveness comes acceptance. I think that's probably actually the biggest thing, is acceptance, because accepting that what was, and we can't change the past, but we can change how we feel about the past by going back energetically and releasing those emotions that have been stored from that time. Yeah, because there were a lot. And even, you know, even Dad's perspective of me as a child was quite different to my perspective as the child. And, you know, like, even seeing that and going, oh wow, that's super interesting.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah,
like, so, this just came out last night for us. And
yeah so I guess I was a child that was very much in my imagination, and I had an imaginary friend, so I always had someone to play with, but I very much was quite happy to be in my bedroom and you know, I had my little teddy set up with my little teacher's thing. But, you know, so I did take myself off, you know, out of the equation a lot and hung out with myself. I was quite happy to do that. But in some ways, I felt like, so Dad was like, you know, he was like, oh, you were always happy to be off playing by yourself and you had your little imaginary friend and you were always happy.
Didn't need to look after you.
Didn't need to do anything for you. You were independent, you know, So, and I was kind of like, oh, okay. So I do remember that, you know, I do remember being quite happy within my own imagination and everything. But also I definitely had feelings of not being seen, not being heard, and not being able to express myself. So so it's interesting how the parent can go, oh, they're like that, so that's okay, we'll just leave them to it, not actually realizing that I was a child and I still needed to be seen and heard and and had, you know, I still needed that quality time. So but as a child, if we don't know how to express that to our parents, then we end up going through life feeling, you know,
that like we're unseen. So right now, like with all of you that have got the sinusy stuff, because my nose has been really itching and like almost a little bit running. So all the sinus stuff, that's always when the energy shows up, it's always some pockets of feeling unseen, unnoticed, unappreciated, or like your love or effort hasn't been received. So for anyone that's got sinusy type stuff or allergies around that
or
area.
Or were you a child that had a lot of nosebleeds?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's a sure sign that you felt unseen in your childhood. My best friend had, growing up, my best friend, she's still my best friend, she had nosebleeds all the time in our childhood. And I always thought it was like, you know, it was just this thing that she had. But now I see that, yeah, absolutely, she felt really unseen. Mm.
And it was me too. Like, I was in the cubicle, like, most of my work days, like, through most of the 20s, actually, into late 20s. Just constant nosebleeds, like, not small ones, like, massive, massive, like, nosebleeds that couldn't stop them for about 20 minutes type thing. So it's interesting when you're in those kind of environments, again, not wanting people to see or know because you've got this random thing that I didn't understand at the time. I didn't understand the energy behind our thoughts and the beliefs and the power that can have on our physical body.
Yeah.
Now we clearly do, and it's the gifts that we share. But so that's a really important thing. Anyone that's like within yourself or even your children, if they're constantly got like bleeding noses or sniffles that they just don't shake, just really maybe start to engage in those conversations around, you know, are we spending enough time together? Are we connecting in the right way?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you need from us? Like,
yeah. Maybe even looking into your children and their love languages and how they like to receive love, which is super important. I feel like the old love languages quiz for children should be handed out when you have a child.
And for the parent to heal their inner child.
Like, it's something that's so simple but so freaking powerful.
Guys, is there any questions? Like, what if you guys have any questions now on this live, do you want to fire them in the box and we'll see if we can address them? And we'll just have a little
Otherwise,
think. Is there anything else that we would like to
Yes, we would like to. We're going to do an online Zoom workshop on this very topic, understanding and healing the inner child. So we're going to do this at 7 p.m. New Zealand Standard Time on Wednesday, the 9th of June. So we will we'll get the tickets up this afternoon.
Yeah.
Or by tomorrow.
Yeah, Tammy will totally sort that. No, we'll sort it.
We will get the tickets out. So, yes. Okay.
We got your message.
The old blocked sinus and allergies. Allergies is actually, a big part of that as well.
Okay, so these three core areas actually, the digestive system, every single session, like, male, female, just digestive stuff. So basically the sacral or your digestive system as well is holding everything around sexuality, intimacy, your five physical emotions, like your senses go there, and also
undigested
ideas or moments or experiences, unworthiness, feeling unloved, and like again the heart, the throat and the sacral, like really, really massive centers that we're trying to bring back online. Like, and what I mean by back online is when our chakras become too blocked or consumed by heavy, dense energy, there's not the flow in the stream. Like, it's like the water wheels are blocked and it's blocking up the stream. So we have to unlock and allow that energy to flow through each chakra so that it can process and help us process the energy in the physical realms that we are all based in. So yeah, thanks for that, Tash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is there anything else, guys? Like,
look after yourself too.
Yeah. Look after yourself.
Cool.
Yeah.
Should we wind it up?
Yeah. So those that are interested, so the difference between this, like, we've gone a bit deeper today than what we were going to.
Yeah, but that's it's important. Okay, because we do that.
Yeah. We love going deep. But next Wednesday, so 7 to 9, we will be doing some clearing activations. So we'll be specifically targeting some inner child stuff around the topics that we've talked about. And the last one was pretty cool. Most of the people said they either connected with their guides, they felt a big shift in energy around their bodies. Like 70%.
They got messages.
Guidance.
Yeah. It was actually epic. So
it was really cool.
Yeah, so we're going to continue to do them, and we'll choose the topics as they come up. Like, for us kind of going, oh, we're going to do this on this day, it just feels too structured. So for us, we want to go with the flow of what's coming up for the collective as it comes up. And therefore, we will probably be a week out or maybe a week and a half out from the topic, because we want the topic to be relevant to what is going on for people. Yeah.
So if any of you guys are joining next Wednesday's Zoom, if you've got specific questions about this, then that will make that Zoom integration and clearing even more powerful. So if you write down some notes, thoughts and feelings, send them through to us.
Yeah. Because we can add them in.
Yeah, because that will make, like, because the clearings are always about the group that's joining.
Yeah.
Or the group that is going to see the message. Like, we're specifically, we're bringing through the energetics that is right for that group that is on the call with us. So if we know specific areas that you are struggling with outside of me feeling it, then we will address and help clear through some of those belief systems.
Thanks, Tash. Thank you to you too. Awesome. So we're going to wind it up. Thank you to everybody.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. And we'll be back.
It was cool to go live today as well as record it.
Yeah.
There's no delay that way. Okay, team. Thanks so much. Have an amazing week. Ciao.
Bye.